Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to another hour dedicated to a fresh inquiry, exploring exactly what enlightenment means and what it is to be enlightened. Indeed, an hour devoted to learning something more about ourselves, an hour designed to help us integrate all of our knowledge and perhaps even challenge some of our ideas about the world we live in and the people we have become. This is an hour for the open-minded, willing to risk their foregone conclusions and perhaps discover an entirely new dimension in their thoughts and being. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and my partner Ravinder is there now. You can log on by going to eldontaylor.com/chat. That's eldontaylor.com/chat. Ravinder will see that your comments and questions do get on the air. She has double duty today, but we have Andrea also in the chat room to give Rav a hand. So be sure and go to that chat room. Isn't that what you want to say to him today, Rav?
Always, always come to eldontaylor.com/chat where the party never ends, or rather it tries to go on and on after the show as well. And Isha just asked you to sing in the chat room.
To sing?
Yeah. Oh, she's cute. Never heard you sing, obviously.
I see.
Sorry.
Oh, hey, I love that. Wait, you are bad. All right, each week I read a few of your letters as our way of recognizing the importance you play in shaping and improving our show. Last week, our guest was Dr. Larry Dossey, and we discussed the extraordinary impact of ordinary things on our health and wellness. Dr. Dossey also informed us of a new growing effort in medicine spearheaded by nurses and referred to as coach nurses. Many of you asked about this and wanted more information. Dr. Dossey's wife, Barbara Dossey, is one of the founders of this movement, and she will join us in January, so be sure to tune in. Okay, Laverne wrote, "Thank you for your introduction to Dr. Larry Dossey. I believe that there is much truth in this philosophy he expresses. He also gave meaning to a truer relation of the spiritual dynamic of the power each has for healing. We are indeed wonderfully made and endowed." Elisa wrote, "Great show. Thanks so much." Mariola wrote, "The show was fantastic." Michelle wrote, "Hi, Eldon. Thank you so much for your show on Hay House Radio." Celestial B from our chat room wrote, "I think there is a lot of wisdom that got pushed into the hokey closet by the medical profession, and I am glad some people have the bravery to do research to prove some of that simple old stuff actually worked and still does." Kevin added, "The show today was encouraging and great, but at the same time, it is sad that our medical community has so far to go." Nancy wrote, "Just finished your CD set, Change Without Thinking. Awesome stuff." Well, thank you, Nancy. Bushra wrote, "Dr. Eldon, I look forward to hearing the sweet voice of Ravinder behind the radio room." All right, now it is a sweet voice, so are you going to sing?
Am I going to sing? No, maybe in the shower.
Oh, well, I can tell nobody's heard you sing either. All right, Mava wrote, "Hello, Eldon. Have you ever given any thought to creating a best of CD of your shows? They're all so great and informative. That might be worth the time to do that. Really enjoy your books and show. Thank you for helping us to use more than 10% of our brains. Be well." Well, thank you, Mava. Patricia wrote, "I really enjoy Eldon's radio show, and I look forward to trying his InterTalk technology. Thanks so much." Now, Patricia's note accompanies her download of one of our free InterTalk MP3 programs that we make available absolutely free as a part of our own Pay It Forward program. I encourage you all to get yours by simply going to InterTalk, InnerTalk.com, and choosing free programs from the left-hand navigation pane. All right. Barbara wrote, "I've listened to many of your shows on Hay House, and I bought your book, Mind Programming. You're doing wonderful work." Well, thank you, Barbara. Bryce wrote, "I simply must thank you all for everything. I've bought several of your InterTalk programs with astounding results." Brian wrote, "I received my InterTalk CD for September 2011, Opening and Balancing Chakras. As I read each positive affirmation out loud, I could feel God's presence surround me with total holy bliss." Well, thank you, Brian, and thank you for your many years of patronage, sir. Lisa wrote, I have been using your InnerTalk program, Confidence with the Opposite Sex, for 2 months now as a part of the relationship collection. I have noticed an improvement in my social skills. I can walk right up to an attractive man and start a conversation now. I went on a date a couple of weeks ago, and I felt very comfortable and not so nervous as I used to. I am enjoying dating and meeting new people now. One other thing I noticed is that some of the old bitterness and resentment that I had towards men as a result of my childhood is starting to fade. I was abused, and sometimes I used to get into bad moods, and often I felt men were no good and couldn't be trusted, etc. There is a line in the CD, quote, men are good, women are good, end quote, and I think that that has helped change my attitude towards men and let go of some of the bitterness I was carrying. Thank you for this CD. Well, we love it, Lisa. Congratulations and great for you. Ruth wrote, thank you, Eldon. The work you are doing is truly spectacular in this day and age. I can't thank you enough. Actually, Ruth, you just did. All right, that's all the time we're going to take for letters, but I do invite you to opine by sending your email to Eldon at eldontaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. You can also just leave comments on my website. I do try to read all of your letters. Obviously, we can't get them all on the air, but they do impact our programming. Often we choose guests or subjects based on your recommendations. I do highly value your input, and I encourage you to provide your feedback. So once again, thank you for your continued support. Now to today's show. We were to have James Von Prague join us, but due to unavoidable circumstances, he had to change the date to October 25th. So we'll take today's hour to discuss something many of you have written me about, sometimes directly and sometimes indirectly. As such, we'll dedicate this hour to examining the role of self-responsibility in your personal journey. We invite you to call in with your special problem or opportunity, and we have a free InnerTalk program designed to help you with whatever issue you are dealing with in your lives today. We hope to present a case for why blindly accepting guidance from anyone other than yourself is wrong. This show promises to challenge, however, some popular ideas, so let me set it up a little bit by providing a context from one of the letters I received as a result of our show on the secret and the law of attraction. Diane wrote, and I don't know if this is designed to bait me, Ravinder, or what, but Diane wrote, I have a question about the law of attraction. I have heard your views on it, and what I get from it is that you think that Esther Hicks is full of you-know-what, and she is not really channeling the ascended masters known as Abraham, because if she really was in touch with these beings, they would not lie to us about the law of attraction, would they? All right. Diane, first, I'm not that familiar with the Hicks teaching, so, you're just going to have to take responsibility for your own decision with respect to them. Indeed, part of our show today is all about employing self-responsible choices. Next, I assume you're making an inference based on my position about what constitutes a law, and that's fair enough. I think of it this way. A law, by definition, is reliable, like the law of gravity. The law of gravity states that the force of gravity between any two objects is directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between their centers. Sounds pretty. It's elegant. What it really is, and what all laws are, is an explanation. Laws provide explanations to the real world. The law of gravity doesn't just say that shoes fall toward the center of the earth because I've always seen them fall toward the center of the earth. Rather, it states that shoes fall toward the center of the earth because they must do so. They have no choice. It must happen. The great science philosopher, Carl Gustav Hempel, provided a model for testing the validity of so-called laws, known as the deductive nomological model of scientific explanation. This model puts explanations on the same logical footing as predictions. They are both deductive arguments. The difference is a matter of pragmatics. Namely, that in an explanation, the argument's conclusion is intended to be assumed true, whereas in a prediction, the intention is to make a convincing case for the conclusion. Now, if you think of the law of attraction in this light, one can hardly call it a law. Period. Full stop, as they say in England. Okay, as I have argued many times, how can one assert that what happens to all of us does so only because we attracted it? The small baby thrown to the floor by her impatient teenage father that later dies somehow attracted this? Are all infants that cry attracting violence, not nourishment, attention, and love? I suggest that there exists a certain potential in the idea of attraction. But unlike the law of gravity or magnetism or the like, it is only a potential. You can think of this potential as having an activation element of a probability nature. Thinking is destiny, but as a metaphor rather than a law. The mind is incredibly powerful, and you have heard both my guests and myself elucidate this in many ways over the past couple of years. That said, if our every thought were to manifest, the world would truly be in chaos. Think of that for a moment. Indeed, the movie actor and German shepherd, Strongheart, is credited by his handler Boone in the marvelous book, Letters from Strongheart, with the observation that should we meet people walking down the street whose faces were as incomplete as their minds, we would truly behold a horror. The fact is, there is much more to our interpretation of things like the uncertainty principle in science, or the idea that thoughts create reality, than most assume. It's just altogether too easy, and as I have said before, the real miasma of the New Age, to jump on ideas and tout them as absolutes. It is exactly when this is done that the non-believing world laughs and makes jokes out of the, quote, New Age. We live in an information age. The pace of the world is in our face on a 24/7 basis. We tune into the weather station to decide when we will have that picnic or outdoor event. Do we tune into our local guru or soothsayer to decide whom we should date or when we will find a job and so forth? Where is the line for when we take full responsibility for whom we are and what we do? You know, in our last show on The Secret, Behind the Secret, I suggested that the four-letter word, work, was the real secret behind the secret. The law of attraction, in my view, is somewhat akin to that old trite but true saying my mother used to share with me. Birds of a feather flock together. When we take responsibility for everything in our lives, it's okay to listen to the weather report, but it's not okay to blame rain at our picnic on the weather reporter, especially when we see the storm coming. Using the information we can gain from all sources in making our choices is not abdicating our responsibility unless we are choosing to allow another source to make our choice for us. Okay, Rav, where do you want to go from here? I mean, I think I basically said responsibility does away with victimhood, but at the same time, it requires that you're making all the choices, and we're saying, you know, thoughts are things, but we're also saying, fortunately, they're not continually creating, so maybe they're not, you know, governing everything behind what's going on. So where do we go? Do you want to discuss your recent visit with the allopathic professionals and our refusal to accept their nonsense and what you learned? Or shall we go to that frequently asked question of both of us? Can you tell me what program to use and why we don't make recommendations? Where do you want to go?
Well, we need to tackle all of them. But one of the things, just an additional example for you, when you were talking about if the law of attraction worked for everybody all the time, what a crazy world that would be. Do you remember the film with Jim Carrey, Bruce Almighty?
I do.
When he had the choice of which prayers to answer, and at first he decided he would answer all of them, give everybody what they wanted. There were riots in the street because people would, you know, purchase tickets for lotteries and stuff, and they all won a buck. Forget about the $1 million jackpot.
They divided it, right?
It was all a buck. So, yeah, there is balance in all of that, because if the law of attraction was a law, a hard and fast law, we would all be successful all the time. We would all win, and you can't all win.
Well, and see, one of the things that bothers me, and I have to get this said, I mean, since you said you brought it up that way, one of the things that bothers me about this so-called law is, first of all, it's not a law, okay? All right. Now, and I've been on that soapbox long enough. But second of all, implied in it is the notion that, you know, life sucks and then you die. You know, crap happens to you because you have that in your head. That's what's going on. You see, you must have wanted to be raped. You must have deserved to be raped. You know, I think of that 14-year-old girl that got us involved in Women for Women and their support, whose husband cut her nose and ears off because she failed to please him. And then he kicks her out into the stable, you know, to live with the animal. And you want to say that she deserves that because she attracted that. See, so I start looking at that end, and that end disgusts me because, you know, bad things happen to good people. It's that simple. And in fact, there's a wonderful book by that title, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. The bottom line is, you know, life is kind of a testing ground. It's kind of a school. It's a place that we come to learn a lot of things. And without the light, we wouldn't know the dark. And so, you know, the yin and the yang of it all, the good and the bad of it all, where we may struggle with that, where we may attempt to make some intelligent understanding out of what's really going on, sometimes it's all about not what's out there, but how we're responding to it, what it is that we do
our
as a result, you
yes.
know? And when we look at our heroes, and there are lots of them, Hay House has several, you know, people who have come from impossible situations. They have forgiven. They have made new life for themselves. I think of Dan Carroll. You remember Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Burned all over. Just a marvelous human being. He's done just incredible things. He becomes a hero, a mentor to all of us because he's overcome these things. Now, if you want to say to me, well, he deserved it. He should have been burned all over his body because he must have been having those thoughts. You know, it is the love. I'm afraid I reel from that. You know how I feel about Rwanda and all, because I mean, you relate to that. So I'll let you pick up that end of it. But, the bottom line is there is an issue that I think is unacceptable. I think it's irresponsible to be placing that out into the world, making people feel that they deserved whatever evil or woe comes to them because of some thought, even if it's an aberrant thought.
I think we're in total agreement there. You know, number one, it's not a law. And number two, if you fall into that trap of thinking it, you're just trying to shirk your own responsibilities in responding to the problems other people are facing. I think that's what it comes down to me.
Okay, so while we're on that subject then, you know, what happens often is, you know, people get into this, you know, I want somebody else to make the decision for me. You know, I don't know for sure what to do. And so, you know, we try to find another way to get the answer that we want. And typically, you know, we're working to get the answer that we want, even if we're unwilling to make that without somebody coaching us, et cetera. How do you feel about that?
I think it's something that we have to guard against constantly. And your work has demonstrated that over and over again. You know, the human psychology says we want someone to fix it for us. We want someone to tell us the definitive answers. And I think, you know, in part, that's why psychics can be so very popular. You want someone who has a definitive answer. But you and I went to see John Edward recently, and I think that guy's amazing.
So do I.
And some of the stuff he does, and it's like, you know, there's no way this is fixed. You know, it's just some pretty amazing stuff. But right up front, he says to everyone, I interpret this through my own lens. You know, it's not coming through pure and unadulterated. It comes through with his interpretation. And then if you think about it, you know, there are several amazing psychics out there, absolutely amazing. Not one of them is right 100%. So it doesn't matter if it's a psychic, if it's a channel, if it's a teacher, if it's a guru, if it's you,
it's weatherman.
Even as well, you know, no one is right 100%. I have heard every single teacher, I think, at Hay House make a mistake at some point. And that is just normal. That is totally normal. It comes down to the individual and the responsibility they take. You cannot turn off your own judgment, however tempting that can be, however comforting that can be. You always have to stop and think. So that becomes the number first responsibility.
So then let's bring all of that back to the focus of our show today, okay? People call every day, call the office, and they describe situations. And they say, you know, I'm going through this or I have this issue. What would you suggest? What would you recommend? And we generally have a policy that we don't make recommendations. Rather, we assist people in making their own decisions. Mm-hmm. And we do that because we truly believe that the first step is to take responsibility for everything in your life. If you're not doing that, well, I'm afraid you're getting left out in the waking up process, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me, I mean, I call you on the phone and I say to you, you know, I have this problem in my life. What would you suggest? How do you direct that?
Let's take a more specific example, because I always find it easier when I focus on something. You know, I will often get someone calling me up saying, I want to be successful. Is the Ultra Success Power Health Wealth and the Fountain of Youth the best program for me? Now, that is an excellent program. I work with that program myself when I'm not working on a specific goal, because it keeps me tuned up in the positive. But to the individual calling up, you know, I'll say to them, well, what does success mean to you? Because there are great varieties there. For someone, it can be success in relationships. For someone else, it's success at work. For someone else, it's success at learning. And then we will go down that path. So if they say, okay, I want success at work, well, okay, what does that entail for you? Does that entail learning? Because you could come back to, you know, you have to learn and a new software and all of that stuff. Or it can be being more assertive with your boss. It can be more confident. It can be comfortable on the phone.
Now, I'm going to ask you to hold that, because that's exactly what we're going to do when we come back from the break. We're going to take phone calls. And whatever your situation is out there, you can call in and we'll give you some of our guidance. You can make a choice and then we'll provide that product to you absolutely free. You're listening to Provocative Enlightenment on Hay House Radio. We're talking about self-responsibility today. If you're not already in our chat room, now's a great time to join the conversation. Just go to eldentaylor.com/chat. Stay with us during the break. You won't want to miss what's coming up in the next half of the hour. We'll be right back after these words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, we're discussing self-responsibility. But before we get back to today's show, I want to invite you to like our Facebook fan page for Provocative Enlightenment Radio. As a fan of the show, you'll receive special announcements and incentives from time to time as our way of thanking you for your support. I would also like to invite you to join me on Facebook while you're there. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter. If you like our show, spread the word. We genuinely appreciate your support. All right, let's get back to the show. We promised before the break that we would practice some of what you were preaching, I guess, Ravinder.
I never preach.
Explaining how you were doing things.
I share.
And since everybody loves that voice of yours, they all write me about it, I have decided that what we're going to do in this next half of the show.
You've got that look in your eye.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
You will be the guest. I will be the host. So we'll take the calls and we'll listen to what you have, how you answer each of these. And I may or may not comment on it, but I'm going to put the onus right squarely at you. You have 20 years of experience of doing this as well as a professional education. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, then let's go to Mariana on line two out of California. Mariana, you're on the air. How can we help you today?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm very, very happy to be on the air. I am, talking about self-responsibility, I tend to fall into relationships that somehow are not fulfilling. For example, right now I am in a relationship where the person says that he's committed, and every time we'll try to make a commitment, something occurs. I really don't know if it's that attracting unsuccessful relationships, there's some blockage in my thought process and willingness to accept love. I just want your opinion about it.
Okay, Ravinder, where do you go from there?
You know, I would be looking there. If you're constantly attracting that kind of stuff, then there must be a part of yourself that you don't like.
Well, now, Mariana, are you, I mean, is this a repetitive pattern?
It is. I tend to be in long relationships, but they don't get anywhere, either because the person is an alcoholic. Normally, that's the main reason, even though I'm a therapist myself.
Uh-huh. Are you from a chemical dependent family?
My dad was an alcoholic, and then he had a car accident and brain damage.
Uh-huh. Do you love your dad?
I love my dad, yes.
Were you and your dad close?
We were very close.
Okay. So perhaps, I mean, you have considered the possibility that you're attracting people into your life that give you the opportunity to share the love that you cannot share with your father any longer?
Yes, and I've been working on that in therapy for the last 5 years, but it's continuing to happen.
Okay. See, and I didn't mean to jump into this one, but,
no, yes.
You know, here's where, I hear what you're saying, and I think, well, you know, you can go down the path that Ravinder was suggesting before, the obvious. We have programs on positive relationships. Or you can really look at a pattern and say, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with Mariana's ability to be open or honest or to share, you know, herself with integrity. This sounds more like Mariana is substituting a relationship with another person to fill a void, to fill a vacancy in her heart. And as you know, you're a therapist. That's not at all uncommon. So I would be looking at this and saying, this is an instance where what we want to do is look at a pattern and end the self-destructive pattern that's inherent to the situation. So, you know, I then would be suggesting or guiding you to working with something like ending self-sabotage. We have a power set that We have amazing testimonials on that includes two programs. One is an audible program that you use with earphones, and it has tones and frequencies. It actually entrains the brain, alters your brainwave frequency. You go into one of those altered states that people associate with meditation and hypnosis. Mm-hmm. While you're hearing verbal coaching, you're hearing it audibly, you know, reassuring you, building the confidence, the esteem, and going after the kinds of things that underlie self-sabotaging patterns. And then, of course, the second program, CD in this set, is an inner talk, which is designed to prime how you talk to yourself, change your stream of consciousness, change your expectation, you know, reinforce in yourself that you deserve more than that in your life, in your relationships, and that it's not necessary. You can't make up for the loss of your father's love or your ability to share that love by finding some counterfeit model who, you know, also has maybe a habit that is not best for him or for you. Does that make sense to you, Mariana?
It's making total sense.
Well, so it would be self-sabotage. Ending self-sabotage is a power set that might work for you. But I can't recommend that.
No,
is that something you think you'd like to try?
I would like to try that, yes.
All right, well, you've got it. Now, Ravinder, you have a comment you like that?
I do. You see, if I had this call come in on the phone, mm-hmm. What I would do, you know, I would suggest looking at the self-destructive patterns, forgiving, high self-esteem, and maybe codependence. Okay.
Yes.
Those are the titles I would suggest that you take a look at. And what I always tell people is take a look at the sample affirmations for these programs and see which programs fit for you. Because I cannot get inside your head. I've only got, you know, the little bits of information that you've shared with us. But if you take a look at these affirmations and say you look at the esteem and you say, oh, no, that's fine. I'm fine with all of that. But then you look at the forgiveness and you say, oh, yeah, that's right. I do. And it sparks different memories for you. Then, you are the perfect person to choose the program. But what I will do, with my wonderful husband's permission, of course, is to say I will send you all four of those programs.
Oh.
So that you can try them all out. But as I said, when you receive them, first of all, take out the affirmations and look through them all and then decide for yourself which one you want to start with.
Okay. And Mariana, of course, she has my permission. You know that. I mean,
oh, thank you.
Got to check off.
You will receive all four. But there's two things I'd ask of you. Okay.
Yes.
One is do call us back in a month or so and let us know how things are going. Two is. Let's assume that you look at the program like esteem and you say, well, no, you know, this isn't really my issue. I read these affirmations. Everything is fine. Let me give you a case in point example so you know what I mean, because you're a therapist. It'd benefit everybody to hear it. I was once speaking in Mexico City and to a very large group about inner talk. And when it came to the Q&A session at the end of the presentation, this very well-dressed woman near the back stood up with her hand in the air, and they carried a microphone down to her, and she said to me, I got your creative writing program, and I've worked with it every day, almost all day long for a month, and I can't see that it's made any difference at all.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, oh, well, golly, what is it that you do? She says, I'm a professional writer. I write a column for this magazine, a column for this newspaper. I'm the author of this book, that book, da-da-da. Well, that was a quick one, an easy one for me to answer, because obviously every one of the affirmations that were on that program that would have entered her stream of consciousness to reassure her, they were already in her head. She was already a successful writer, already under the gun with deadlines for this, that, and the other. So that's what we mean. When you read the affirmations and you get a sticky part, you know, and then a lot of people will stick, say, for example, on on the forgiveness set. Every program has a forgiveness set. I forgive myself. I forgive all others. I am forgiven. Say you get that I forgive all others, and I think of it as a sticky moment where, yeah, I don't know about that. Then that's a program you definitely want to work with.
But I have more resistance with.
Yes, that's right. That's a program that is really going to help you. But if you read these affirmations and you already own them all, that's who you are. Well, then, so here's my second part. If you read the esteem and, hey, you don't need that, give it to one of your clients. Give it to somebody that okay?
Pass it on.
We appreciate your call.
I appreciate
you. Stay on the line, Mariana. We need your details to send this to you. So our producer, Joe, will get all of it from you, all right?
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for calling. All right, let's go to Lucy in Middletown, New York. Lucy, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I want to create business and be successful, but, I study everything in my life. I study accounting, and now I'm trying to study oracle card readings. I'm betting tutor. And then I don't really know what path to take at this point. It's confusing. I don't know. I am all over.
Okay.
I want to start my business too. I am in a long relationship that is going nowhere. And I am I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, I'm a perennial student. I study everything too, you know, but as opposed to focus on studying everything, you know, what if you had your genie in the lantern? And the genie said, I can fix one thing for you, Lucy. One thing. Maybe you want to fix a whole lot of things, but let's start with one thing. What would that one thing be? What comes to your mind? What is it that you'd put on the table and say, this is the most important thing I'd like to deal with now in my life?
Okay. I feel like frustrated, even though, because I don't know, everything comes to me so easy, then, I don't know what you can call it. I like everything that I don't know really what I like. It's like when you have too much and you don't really have nothing on you, then...
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like...
So what you're really saying is... You know, you lack a definition of something you might call purpose. I mean, what is this all about? I got all the toys. I've got this. I've got that. I can have anything I want. You know, what does it mean? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, yeah. Having everything and nothing at the same time, feeling that you have accomplished nothing. And then sometimes people tell me you are in a state of denial. Okay, but then it's like, that what you say, because my eyes don't see that.
You sound like you're describing what the brilliant psychologist Maslow called that feeling of absence of self-actualization. Like, you know, I'm here, and what does it all mean? What have I done with my life? What are my accomplishments? I mean, are we getting close?
Yeah, and today I noticed that sometimes some things made me like angry. I can see myself. I can feel the anger in me that dealing with some people, with one or two people that I love the most. And when seeing themselves it shouldn't matter to me because I cannot control their life. But it's another point that I have in my mind. It made me up. I try to explain them my point, and then they don't understand, and I feel very angry that I shouldn't.
Okay. Okay. All right, Ravinder, I know where I would go with this at this point. Do you have any questions for Lucy?
Do I have any questions? No, I have.
You ready to just pick up? And
some suggestions, some different directions that I would be looking at if I were in her situation.
So go for it.
Again, you know, I always recommend that people look at the sample affirmations for the titles I'm suggesting. So what I have on my list here is manifesting your vision. And I suggest that simply because I've worked with that myself. We've had different kinds of reports from customers for that. We've had the person who simply acquired the object that she had been trying to get. But for me, I played that at night while I was sleeping, and I had dreams that told me of all the different solutions. See, at that time, I was looking at some different business ideas, and I just had dreams one after the other. It's like, oh, I could do this, I could do this. It was really great, really inspiring. So in this instance, I think she would find manifesting your vision would just help her figure out what it was that she wanted and how to get it. In the same vein of that, I would be looking at building your personal icon, finding your path in life, maybe strategic planning and peak performance. And then, of course, there is the forgiveness and the esteem. You know, there is some hidden resentment, anger, and we don't have the details for all
of
that.
But anger is the program you want there.
But those are the, and then again, if I were on the phone, I would say, go take a look at the sample affirmations for these and figure out what ones you think.
Now, we're not on the phone, so you get the shotgun blast, Lucy. I concur with Ravinder about the personal icon, finding my path in life. That's the very first program I had written. I concur with manifesting my vision. That was the second program. Then as you went along, it became really obvious that, you know, holding the kind of resentment that you are, anger is a program that we have to include in there. And forgiving and letting go, that's where it all begins. And so I see those four programs on their way to you, unless you would not like them.
No, I would love them because I also, when I talked to my husband, it's like, wow. You know, I have been doing a lot of spiritual work, but talking to him is a challenge.
Okay, well, we all have those challenges, but you remember that your self-esteem, your wholeness, your completion is not dependent upon someone else, and that it's easy to communicate with people when it's okay for them to disagree with you. It's difficult when we, instead of communicating, are trying to persuade. Does that make any sense to you, Lucy?
Yeah, it does. It does.
All right.
Especially when he tried to, like, put his own kids down, and it's amazing. When I have to speak to him, say, please listen, please say them out your teacher. Don't share your new life with them and your head in them. And he just keep going and going, and that's a challenge.
Well, now you be sure that you play these programs as much as you can when your husband's around, especially the forgiving, the manifest.
Yeah, no, he's my ex-husband. He doesn't want to be part of us anymore. He's already having his own life, and he's still like.
Okay. Now, remember, Lucy, here's the thing. You're going to call us back in a month. You're going to let us know how this worked. If we, are you gone? I think we just lost Lucy. All right. Well, let's go to Gary. I'm sorry, Mary. Mary Ellen it is in Los Angeles. Mary Ellen, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment.
Good morning, Eldon. Good morning, Raph.
Hi, Mary Ellen. How are you?
Okay.
But fantastic is better.
If I was fantastic, I probably wouldn't be calling in.
Well, let's claim it. We'll forward
fantastic.
Think.
All right.
Love it.
I am fantastic.
I love it.
I have had RA for about 20 years, and I've had a miracle drug for about 15. And all of a sudden, the miracle drug is no longer a miracle. So I'm wondering what has shifted or what might have shifted that would make me all of a sudden kind of shift back to where I was before. Do you have any?
You have personal experience with RA, Raph, so take this one on.
I do, most certainly, because I had RA as well, Mary Ellen. I was diagnosed with RA after my youngest son was born, so that was 13 years ago. He had his birthday yesterday. Well, I was on RA meds for 15 months. That 15 months, you know, you talk about taking responsibility. One of the things that Eldon teaches is that all illness, now this is not a hard and fast, so I don't want everyone to take it, you know, that solid. But if you take the attitude of, I created this for myself, I have chosen this, then you are in a position to do something about it. And what I did with the RA, and I did this personally, I did not see a therapist, I didn't talk to anyone about it, but I took myself apart. I examined myself as to why I would have created this for myself. And when you're only talking to yourself, you can be as honest as you like. And some of the stuff that comes up, you know, we all have personal stuff that we're embarrassed about, ashamed about. That's just the way things go. But I went through all of that. I looked at it all in the face. But simultaneously, I was playing Eldon's Accelerated Healing Program. I played that every single night for the 15 months. Towards the end of that 15 months, you know, I was still taking my meds. I could not come off the meds without having a flare up, and it's really nasty. RA is horrible. But I did come across something that supposedly had a high cure rate. It turned out that this particular extract I took was a beef extract, which is really funny because when I was pregnant with my son, I had this craving for beef. And being a vegetarian, that makes it really, really funny. But 15 months down the highway, I discover that this supposed cure is just an extract of beef. I took these pills twice a day for 2 weeks, and I came off my meds, and I have not had RA meds since. I tend to believe that doing my own work inside, looking at the whole thing and trying to figure out why I created this, and working with Eldon's Accelerated Healing Program, I think that is what put me in a position where a placebo, if it was a placebo, or if it, I was in a position where I could accept being healed.
Here's where we are. Mary Ellen, Ravinder needs to carry this on with you, but we're coming to the end of our time. We're going to send you the Accelerated Healing Program. We're going to send you an arthritis program that we have. But I want Ravinder to also be able to complete this conversation. So if you stay on the line, Joe will get from you your details. Give him your phone number, and she'll call you after the show later and tell you the rest of the story, okay?
Oh, that's wonderful. That's fantastic.
We appreciate you phoning, and remember, as always, you know, let us know 30 days from now how things work out, okay? All right. Ravinder, you've got 10 seconds quickly to wrap up.
Anyone else out there who has had questions that couldn't get on the line, you know, you can always call our offices. We've got some people here that can help you figure out for yourself what types of programs, you know, would work best for you.
And we do another show a month from now on InterTalk again. Our toll-free number is 1-800-964-3551. We've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. I want to thank you all for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed our show, and we'll join us again next week, same time and same place. And if you have comments on our show, do let us all know. Until next time, remember, believing in yourself always matters.